Graduation is a rite of passage where our young men and women are leaving one world and entering a new one. This new world is quite different than the one they are leaving. Now they will be expected to build a career, find a mate, thus separating themselves from their families. The bar is being raised as the challenges of life become more complex. Some young people are ready for this challenge and others are not. I had a nephew living with me following his graduation from high school in 2009. He was attending Manchester Community College, moving here from Indiana, and he simply was not ready for it. He failed out of almost every class. We promised him free room and board for his first year, and from an academic standpoint, it was a total disaster. However, at the same time, he grew that year in ways that surprised his parents. He ended up moving back to Indianapolis, a changed young man. He's doing so much better. He attended college at his pace, which was much slower. And he got married this past October, and I officiated at his wedding. He simply needed that opportunity to fail to help him find his bearings and start over again. While 2009 was a tough year for my nephew and for us, it was filled with growth that led him to where he is today. The young men and women are stepping into quite a different one from the one I graduated in. In the 1970s, we lived in the age of the Vietnam War. No one ever thought of homegrown terrorism. We didn't have cell phones, VCRs, or DVDs. We had cassette tapes and 8-tracks, if you remember 8-tracks. There were no computers. I did all my college papers on a Royal Manual typewriter with carbon paper. Remember carbon paper? Instead of the internet, we contacted our friends with a hardwired telephone. Gas was about a dollar, and it wasn't difficult to find a job with skills needed to do them. Even paying for college seemed a little easier. But all that has changed. This is a different world. The jobs available today require a whole set of high-skilled training. The world is much smaller, and we communicate anywhere in the world instantaneously. It is harder for young people to venture out on their own and get that start. Things like utilities and rent and health insurance are expensive. The world travels at a very fast pace, and the majority of folks are doing whatever they need to do simply to survive. Our culture has changed too. Our society is much more diverse. For example, your doctor most likely will come from another country. It is very possible that your next door neighbor might be from China or Mexico or Vietnam. The company you work at may be owned by someone overseas. Our gospel today from John is known as Jesus' high priestly prayer. It is the prayer of Jesus that ends a lengthy teaching during the final meal with his disciples, just before his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's called the high priestly prayer because Jesus is preparing to offer himself as a sacrifice for the sin of the world, and he intercedes for his disciples in the same way that a high priest intercedes for the people of Israel. In this prayer, Jesus is preparing his disciples for their life in the world. He prays for them and promises that they will be protected. He will be leaving the world soon, and he wants them to know they will not be abandoned. However, there is something unique about the disciples. Jesus reminds them that while they will be living in the world, they actually represent another world. That is the world of the believer. They will be in the world, but not of the world. Because of their faith, they will be tested, face overwhelming odds, and they will not always be accepted by the world in which they live. Why? The life they have chosen to follow Jesus will be one in which it is more important to help their neighbors than to become successful as the world defines it. Relationship with people will matter more than material things. Their language will be a language of love, and unlike the world in which they live, they are called to make sacrifices and align themselves with the oppressed, serving those on the margins of society. That is a tremendous challenge, and few will be able to embrace it. It will be easier to give into the ways of the world and look, talk, act, and feel like everyone else. And yet Jesus is counting on his followers to keep the faith, be strong to be different, and to be a presence in the world where some remain connected to the kingdom of God. I've integrated a couple thoughts on today's gospel by Dr. Keith Wagner, a UCC minister in Ohio. Jesus gives them a message on how to survive. First, he stresses oneness. The only way to withstand the fierce elements of the world are to stay together. Jesus says our greatest threat is divisiveness or disunity. Without oneness, we will perish or become worldly. He is not saying that we must agree and have the same opinions on everything, but we are to remain united. And this means how we treat each other truly matters. Demonstrating respect in our conversations and interactions either builds up the body and fosters oneness. Not doing so diminishes relationships and harms our unity. It is not important that we always agree. However, being a member of a family means you may not always see eye to eye, but you show up for dinner and you show respect. In doing so, Jesus reminds his followers to maintain healthy relationships with God and with one another. Relationships are key to survival. Just as those with addictions need a support group, the people of faith need to stay connected to one another. Secondly, Jesus tells his followers that we will still have to live in the world. Therefore, we should take advantage of the resources of the world and use them to witness to the gospel. Using the tools of society doesn't mean we have sold out. It means we're taking advantage of all available resources to be faithful to the task of building up the kingdom. This includes engaging in the issues of our day, through advocating justice, through our political processes, and by joining others to advance God's kingdom. And finally, Jesus places the future of his faith community in God's care. Jesus prays that God will be present in the life and mission of the faith community. Although we're called to live in the world, we are not outside the protective care of God. Our lives may take us to distant corners of the world, but we are never far from God's reach. We may stumble and fall. We may make terrible mistakes, do terrible things to one another. We may suffer in body, mind, and spirit, but through it all, God's promise is that he will be with us through it. Yes, to be in the kingdom of God is to be from a different world while living in the real world. There are scary times. There will be times we feel alone and overwhelmed. Nevertheless, God will be there to be with us as Jesus has promised. So stay tuned till next week when we celebrate the powerful gift of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to accomplish all that we are called to do and to be.